It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Okay. It is time. We have reached the moment in the week where we give out the Fox Across America game ball to the interview that, to be honest with you, is graded on a very sliding criteria. Sometimes it's like I laughed a lot. Sometimes it was like, you know, I learned something new, you know. And sometimes it's just something that, perfectly encapsulates the vibe of what this show is. This week's winner, a combination of all of those things. At a time when we were discussing the war on the press at the White House, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But of course, this was a week where Joe Biden made headlines by calling our own Peter Doocy a stupid SOB. Well, we had a guest in studio who was all too familiar with handling lines of questioning she didn't exactly care for during her workday, that being the great Kayleigh McEnany. And Kayleigh took us inside what it's like to be Joe Biden under the Klieg lights or Jen Psaki under the Klieg lights and told us all about the motivations of both reporters and press people in that moment in a way I found fascinating, in a way that was very uniquely Kayleigh. There were a couple of laughs. There were a lot of sports references. And, you know, to be honest with you, she's very diplomatic. I always feel like I should interview her over a box of wine instead of straight radio because she's a little nicer to the Biden administration than I think she wants to be deep down. But that's why she gets the game ball. Kayleigh McEnany is a class act, which might make you wonder what the hell she's doing on this show.
Hey, Jimmy. Great to join you as always.
No kidding. What a good day to have you on. Now, let me ask you this question. I know we never picked you up on a hot mic calling anybody a name, but did you ever walk off from the podium with a choice word for somebody under your breath?
I did not. I am not a cusser in my life, Jimmy, as you well know, because we spent enough time around each other to pretty much know that. So the worst I ever did was tell CNN I would not call on them because I said I would not call an activist. So I don't use SOB as a terminology, but I do use activist. So they did take great offense to that one, I will say.
That's really funny. No, you strike me as the person, and I used to do this when I was a cab driver, so let me in on this. Have you ever actually gotten to that place where, unbeknownst to people, you're actually like saying a prayer for them, even if they're like mean to you or they're a jerk, where you're just kind of like, all right, you know, Lord, help this guy out. He's a mess. Have you ever found yourself in that position?
Yes, I have. And actually, one of my tactics was when I would call on Jim Acosta, I knew he was going to be mean. I knew he was going to be rude. I knew he was going to be unfair. So I'd just throw him a compliment. Hey, Jim, I like your tie. What do you have today for me? Because I believe sometimes sugar goes further than the spice does.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it does. And I see this moment. Okay, because we're at like a flashpoint now where the questions are starting to become more challenging. And I think they're getting frustrated because I believe they came into this position in the Biden administration almost with like this sense of entitlement, as if they were entitled to favorable questioning no matter what direction this thing went in. Because I feel like the press kind of like seduced Biden and his administration over the course of campaign by never asking them a challenging question ever. So do you see them do you see this as a lash out at the fact that the rules of the game seem to be changing in real time?
Yes, Jimmy, I think you hit the ball out of the park on that one. You know, my mom said to me the other day, and I think she's right. She said, you know, the Biden administration is feeling like 1/100th of what President Trump felt and what you felt sitting at that podium. I mean, look, last week in the press conference that Biden gave, if Trump would have given half of those answers, there would not be a "we'll politely let you finish and then change the subject to another question." He would have been screamed over by Jim Acosta, by Caitlin Collins. It was not a diplomatic back and forth. It was an aggressive posture from the very beginning. You know, we think you're an agent of Russia. We, the whole press corps, believe that, and we're going to shout over you if you say anything to the contrary. That's the kind of demeanor President Trump entered his administration with. And you're exactly right. It was totally different. Biden was given the benefit of the doubt, adulation, praise, no tough questions. Only now they're feeling a tenth of the heat, a 1/100th, I would say, of what Trump felt. And they can't take it. They can't take it.
No, they can't. If you just joined us, Kayleigh McEnany is on the line. And this might be, you know, I don't think anything articulates it better than COVID-19, the comparison that we're making here. Because if you remember, okay, the attitude towards yourself and President Trump and that White House during the COVID outbreak was that you were going to get us all killed. And obviously the American people needed to make a change in the Oval Office because of Donald Trump's handling of COVID. Well, we're sitting here right now with a president who has presided over more COVID deaths than Donald Trump, despite inheriting three vaccines. And they're really not taking the beating on that they should, considering that was kind of the defining issue of the election. So isn't it, even though the media is getting it tougher, isn't there a little bit of a dereliction of duty when it comes to COVID under Joe Biden?
Oh, it's so true. I mean, I remember us in the White House looking up and, you know, it was a tough time. You never want to lose one American to a pandemic, much less, you know, many thousands of Americans, hundreds of thousands. But, you know, I remember looking up and on CNN, MSNBC, you know, a lot of the networks, you would see this death tracker, this COVID death tracker that would permanently stay on the screen. And you hated seeing that number tick up. But, you know, we predicted that's going to go away. If Biden becomes president, that's going away. And no longer will you see these death trackers. And indeed, it did go away. And the real tragedy is Biden, as you correctly note, has overseen more COVID-19 deaths than President Trump. And there's such a deficit of reporting on it. You know, we talk about it on Fox. We talk about it with you here on radio. But you just simply don't hear it on other networks, or it's very scant coverage. So you're exactly right. I think there's a dereliction of duty on the part of the press on that issue for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. And I think that's why, like, the coronavirus and COVID-19, you know, it's something, you know, we consider to be common cause in that it attacks all of us regardless of how we voted. But we have definitely, because it originated in an election year, spent more time fighting each other than we have collectively fighting the virus as a team. Like, this was a, you know, history will show this was an opportunity to play team ball. You know, sort of like a 9/11, the firefighters and cops didn't run into the building and say, who'd you vote for? You know, they ran in just trying to, save people, because it was humanity hanging in the balance. And that's what COVID was. But it's to me, it's like it's almost embarrassing as an American that we got to a place where we spent so much more time trying to tar the other side than we did finding, you know, a way forward. And we're not there. Like, and I think one of the reasons why is because we're not conversing honestly about the facts. And that's where we are with kids right now. Like, so here in New York, my son today is in school for the first time in 2 years without a mask. But by the end of the day, the judge may, you know, hear the appeal and put him back in a mask. And have you ever seen such a psychotic indifference to the well-being of children like the one we've demonstrated in the last 2 years?
No, I haven't. I mean, you know, my daughter, trying to get her to wear a mask at 2 years old, it's nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it shouldn't be accepted. You have even the World Health Organization saying, no, you shouldn't have masks till 5 years old. And even after 5 years old, you know, there are, you know, developmental effects to wearing these masks in perpetuity. It's incredible what we've done to America's children, forcing a mask on them, keeping them out of school, you know, keeping them out of activities. I heard one commentator make this point. I think it's a good one. I forget who said it. But they said, I think we'll have an entire generation of young people who, while millennials and young people usually skew to the left, mm-hmm. We may have a little generation of rebels on our hands who say, I'm going to buck the traditional. I'm a liberal. I'm going to be a conservative, because my whole childhood, my time in college, you know, years of my time in high school were completely plundered by the radical left.
Yeah, it's such a great point, Kaylee. If you're just joining us, Kaylee McEnany on the phone, is just the basic core tenets of America and freedom have been so trampled. And I think in realizing just how much they've been trampled, you're right that a lot of kids might embrace conservative values earlier in life than they normally do. This could be the biggest generational shift since Michelle Obama banned French fries from school lunches, because that cost them. So listen.
No, it's so true. Think about what you cared about when you were a young person. Like, I was someone who was really engaged in the political process, who was like kind of a nerd in that fashion. And I happily take the title nerd, but like putting myself aside, the average young person, the average millennial who's at college cares about being able to show up, meeting new people at college, going out with their friends, or in high school, being on an athletic team, having that Friday night football game. That's just been wiped away. Yeah. And those things do matter. Those social interactions do matter. So I think you're exactly right. Maybe the biggest thing since Michelle Obama.
I'm just telling you, Kaylee, we got a lot of little fat kids out there like me who did not take that French fry ban the right way. Whenever you hear, that's why whenever you hear like that rumor every 4 years, she's going to run for president, she's not, because there's a whole young generation that will not support this woman. They ate too much broccoli with their pizza and they're not happy.
And Bloomberg with the soda ban, too.
Do you remember that one? Is he nuts? Like, the whole point of living in New York, you know this, is you live in New York to do unhealthy things, to cheat death. We eat food out of carts. We're eating chicken that was just being towed on the BQE, getting breathed on by an exhaust pipe of a van with no license plate. That's who we are as New Yorkers. And he denied us. What does he say? Our truth. You know that term they throw around a lot on the left? You know, it's my truth. I don't believe there's such a thing as your truth. I believe there's the truth, and the truth is you're right. These healthy overreaches into our lives are not appreciated. Let me ask you this, though, really quick, because I'm getting so far off message. Do you feel like there are people on the left now who have recognized the political liability that is COVID overreach, whether it has to do with kids, whether it has to do with mandates? You're starting to see people start to distance themselves from these positions as they've become more and more unpopular. You know, Barry Weiss had a great quote on Bill Maher the other night, but even Gayle King has basically said the same thing, in that we're really failing kids. Do you starting to see the political expediency of this motivate people on the left to abandon principle?
I think, yeah, Barry Weiss is a great example. Mm-hmm. I think that there are some maybe Democrat voters who are seeing the light, who said enough is enough. I mean, you, unless you're just not a normal person, when you wake up and think to yourself, this is year three, we are still operating under the year one type lockdown type guidelines. Yes, we don't have a lockdown in fact, but we have many of the same measures in place that are doing devastation to our economy, to our lives. The average person wakes up and feels there's something wrong with year three. When is this ever going to end? But our leaders, I don't think they see the light. I think this is about so much more than just ending COVID-19. It's about control. It's about having their way. It's about sucking up to their allies, the teachers union, who as recently as, 10 months ago, maybe less than that, 6 months ago, was allowing the teachers union to dictate CDC guidelines. Yep. Unfortunately, there's such a strong cohort of unions on the left, like the teachers union, that I think while Democrat voters may be waking up, their leadership is not. And there will be a great reckoning in November. I can predict that, and I think that that's fair to say.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually agree with you on that, because I think parents, you know, it's not a political issue when it comes to upsetting parents and when it comes to denying kids their own well-being in a classroom. I think that's something that crosses party lines in terms of the outrage that's coming their way. But long before hey, girl. No, you're right, though. And you're right. And again, what's funny about this, back to the point I was trying to make earlier about how we're not having an honest conversation and we just keep depicting, you know, the Republican side is like, they want to kill your kids. You know, Glenn Youngkin is not saying you can't mask up your kid. He's saying it should be a parent's choice. Isn't it kind of amazing that it's being depicted other ways? Just like your Governor Ron DeSantis, he didn't say in banning masks that you couldn't wear them per se. He just said it should be the parent's choice and not the government's. But I think when you're down to just vote for us or you're evil, I just feel like that message is exhausting, and I don't think anyone buys it anymore. You know, I think we're at that point where it's like they might have overplayed all of that stuff. They wasted all their bullets on you, Kaylee. What did you think?
Exactly. Well, that's why political division, I think, was the number three issue in the Fox poll that people care about. I don't think the best message of, you know, Biden be vaccinated, have a right to be angry at the unvaccinated. If you oppose my voting bill, you're Bull Connor or a segregationist. Mm-hmm. That kind of message, I think, just further divides us, and it's evidenced by this poll where that's the third biggest issue is political division. But look, what happened in Virginia, I mean, this is a state that Biden won by double digits. It's a state that for the first time prior to the election, Republicans were leading on the issue of education. It's not an issue Republicans ever lead on, but indeed they did. So I think you're totally right. When you start saying do X, Y, or Z with your child and you have no involvement in education in the curriculum, parents, they don't just walk to the polls. They march to the polls and they have their voice heard, as we saw in Virginia. And I think we'll see beyond that.
Last question, Kaylee, because I do agree. Now that the Buccaneers are out, do you root for a team in the NFL playoffs, or are you just rooting for Merlot from here on in?
Oh, it is such a good question, Jimmy. Okay, it was devastating. I was at that game. Mm. I knew there was going to be a comeback. I mean, devastating, soul-crushing, too. And the last few seconds, not get to overtime. I mean, I've been giving that a lot of thought. There's so many good storylines out there with the NFL right now, but I may have to go with the Kansas City Chiefs because I do sit by someone named Harris Faulkner, who is a KC fan, and I love her to death. So I'm still debating, but I think I may go for the Chiefs because how can I go against Harris?
Well, listen, I'm on the Faulkner focus tomorrow, and I just might show up in a Joe Burrow jersey to make things interesting. So we'll see.
Please do.
Spice it up. You know what I mean? I think TV's better with a black eye and a swollen lip. I just think it'll look better. It'll give me a... She's going to beat me up. But no,
I will be watching.
That's good. It's good stuff. Well, listen, man, this was epic as always. I will see you around the hood. Good luck with your Kansas City Chiefs. Although, if you know anything about the Fela family, we're rooting for whatever team covers the point spread, so we don't care.
There you go, Jimmy. I'll be watching you tomorrow.
You're the best, Kaylee. Congratulations, Kaylee McEnany. Clearly, after being a White House press secretary, this was the career highlight. Everything else pales in comparison. I kid, but I will be back from Reno this Monday, ready to raise holy heck on the radio, especially if my football bets go sideways. So live it up. You know the rules. I say it every day. The whole be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.